When it comes to insurance, you want someone you can trust. Look, you trust me with your time. You listen to me to laugh, to think, or so that I can make you mad with something I've said. Look, trust the person that I trust when it comes to insurance. John Runyon with Farm Bureau. John is a longtime friend of mine, since junior high actually, and has been my insurance agent the last 4 or 5 years. He will be honest, fair, and maybe most importantly, communicate with you in a timely manner. When I had a rock go through my windshield and needed to make a claim, the process was quick and easy, and I had a check mailed to me almost instantly. To see what he can do for you when it comes to home, auto, or life insurance, contact him via phone at 865-982-2559, or you can shoot him an email to get the ball rolling at John, J-O-H-N, dot Runyon, R-U-N-Y-A-N, at F-B-I-T-N.com. That's 865-982-2559, or John.Runyon at FBITN.com. John Runyon with Farm Bureau. All right, on today's debut episode of the world's greatest podcast in America, we catch up with Callie Cody. Cody's in California. We get with him to find out what he's been doing the last month, to take a video tour of his apartment slash living situation. Yes, I know that there's not really a video, but we did a live video for the patrons of Reed's Ranch. We're going to partner up with that for this podcast as well, at least for the time being. If you want to get in on the next live recording, get access to the Discord to do the live streaming and have the questions and just basically total access to what we do, patreon.com/Reed's Ranch. If you're listening to this on the Reed's Ranch feed, go subscribe. The world's greatest podcast in America. It should be on iTunes. I know it's on iTunes. It should be on Spotify. And, you know, this episode is kind of just an hour of catching up and some jokes and a little football talk. Not much. But we're going to do this 2 times a week. And next, you know, this upcoming Thursday, we'll do another one. It'll be more of kind of formatted the way the podcast is going to be. Mix of sports, mix of other things. You know how me and Cody were whenever we did talk sports, so it's going to be a lot like that. Pretty pleased with the way the first episode came out, but again, go subscribe to the world's greatest podcast in America. And again, if you want to support us and what we do, shout out to my man John Runyon for supporting the podcast and sponsoring the podcast. I urge you again to, if you're in the need of insurance, to go and grab that, or at least let him price you and see if he can work with you. I would not lead you astray. I trust John with my life. And also, if you want to support Cody and what we do, patreon.com/Reed's Ranch. All right, let's get to the episode.
I am untethered and my rage knows no bounds.
Ladies and gentlemen.
All I know is you never had the makings of a varsity athlete.
What is it with you and this obsession with this varsity crap? Crap. Crap.
People come to us because we don't sell them on anything.
They can't refuse because of the implication.
You wonder ever you're a bad man?
World needs bad men. We keep the other bad men from the door.
Some things are a matter of duty.
The world's greatest podcast in America.
That doesn't sound right, but I don't know enough to dispute.
I was about to take advice from a clown who dies headfirst into the shallow end of the pool.
It's
the world's greatest podcast in America.
With John Reed and Cody McClure.
If it is to be said, so it be. So it is. So it is.
It's a Tennessee thing!
Well, I'm holding on!
Welcome into the first edition of the world's greatest podcast in America. Many people said it would never happen. Many people said Cody would not start a podcast after moving to California. Well, those people are wrong. Oh, it's so good to see your face, you beautiful Malouk. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. It's good to see you. First episode. The world's greatest podcast in America. I got a hashtag for us. I think it should be hashtag WGPIA. because I searched that on Twitter and nobody's ever tweeted that. So it can be like our own little thread.
Lowercase I is how I did it in the email, because I think I set up an email or some account that had WGPIA, but I did lowercase I.
Yeah, that'll work. There's Frank. It's good to see Frank too. How's he doing?
Frank make it in? Frank's doing good. He's happy to see you. He heard that you're doing the podcast. He said he wanted to watch. Of course, many of you probably listening to this first episode, former TalkSporters. TalkSports is dead. Cody moved from Tennessee to California. We'll start with a listener question to start with. Cody, what is it like living out of your car?
Well, I before I left Knoxville, you know, I got a storage unit and put most of my stuff in there. And now everything I've got does happen to fit in my car. So I'm not actually living in the car, but it'd be kind of tough actually, because if I had to sleep in the car, I don't think I'd have room with all my stuff in there too. Cause like when I came out here, I mean, it was packed to the ceiling of the car. Like,
are you not worried about getting robbed?
What do you mean? Like,
just from having it all in your car? Yeah, like having all your stuff in your car.
Well, I don't have all the stuff in the car now. I got it all in this room I'm staying in now. So,
okay, walk us through. I know that you just got set up, but let's walk through your room. I want to see how you're living. Let's see it.
You want me to guide you around?
Yeah, and you know, I think this might be on video for the first episode. Frank, you see that? He perked up. He wants to see too. Let's walk through the room. I want to see how you're living.
Okay, I can show you the room. I got to figure out how to flip my camera here. I've never done a podcast, you know. I'm a radio guy, so.
Not anymore, my friend.
Here's my podcast stand. It's got all my books. You got
Colin Cowherd book.
Yeah, Howard Stern, Joey Diaz, all my comedy books. That's The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield, as great opposed name. to the Art of War. And then here I got my Zens here. I've quit the Copenhagen Wintergreen. I'm off the Copenhagen, but I've picked up another habit. I'm on the Zens now. So this is my little desk. And I got my little refrigerator here. There's not a lot of space in this place. I got my microwave. I got my shirts.
Okay. Nice and organized. That's a better setup than I thought.
Door going out of the place. You can see I'm not wearing pants. I'm in my underwear here.
Let's see that hog.
And then we got the TV, got the bed, nothing on the walls. It's a little plain, got a bright yellow wall, and then there's my toilet in there. I won't take you in there. But I got my shower and my toilet. So it's pretty bare bones. I mean, it's pretty basic.
Now, the world's greatest podcast in America will also be a coming of age, trying to make it story. You're a little too old for a coming of age tale, but you know what I mean. Like, we're interested in your California life. So are you connected to anyone out there? Are you living in someone's house? What exactly is happening?
Yeah, so I'm just renting a place like I'm doing it through Airbnb, but I'm living, I guess technically it's somebody's house, but there's other people who live here, like in different units of the house.
Okay.
And so I've got my own like private area, but it's very basic. It's very basic. But you know, for out here, I mean, it's not bad. My only real requirement was for it to be affordable and to have my own bathroom. So I checked those two goals off. I mean, the bed is a little bit uncomfortable. I kind of stick to the bed. Like it's got the mattress, and then it's got like this plastic thing on top of it. Not a mattress cover, but it's just the material it's made out of. So I get kind of hot at night. I get kind of stuck to that. So it's a pain in the ass. I've tried putting a sheet over it and a quilt over it. And it's just, I got to get a mattress topper.
Do you have access to other things, or are you just in that room?
I'm just in this room pretty much, but you know me, I mean, I don't spend much time here. I just sleep, shit, and shower. I mean, that's pretty much it, you know? So I spend most of my day out, but here's the view from, I do have a window here, my desk.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that you are not.
Show you my view outside. You see, I got palm trees here.
Okay, there's a tree. There's a car. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how much is that running you? How much is that running you in California?
Oh, it's about $1,500 a month.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
Yeah, but see, like, it's really not any worse than Nashville. I just, like, everybody talks about how expensive it is out here, you know, and it is, but, like, you can do it depending on what you're willing to sacrifice. So, for me, I'm sacrificing, like, an oven and a stovetop. And, you know, I mean, it's doable, though. I got my little refrigerator. Like, it works for me. But.
You went out to California to attempt comedy. How's that going so far?
It's going pretty good. I've gotten up on stage. I think I've done, like, 13 or 14 sets, something Whoa. Like that. I've been keeping track. I got a little notepad where I'm keeping track of them. So hang on. I'll grab my notepad. I'll show you what I've done.
Yeah, we're very interested in this. Like I said, it's a coming of age, trying to make it story.
What'd you say?
It's a coming of age, trying to make it story. So we're very interested in the comedy side of it.
So I've been keeping up with all my sets. So the first place that I went is called the NoHo Diner.
First of all, just the NoHo Diner. Okay, that checks out and lines up with your living arrangement so far.
NoHo's, yeah. The first night I did comedy there, that like three people that went up at the open mic, they all made a joke about the NoHo Diner. You know, which NoHo obviously stands for North Hollywood. It's one of these, like, you know, these Gentile acronyms that people use now. Like, if you live in, you know, Sono, like Sono Taco in Knoxville. Well, here you got NoHo and you got WeHo. It's all Hollywood. You got SoHo, EHo. You know, they got to abbreviate everything. So my guy Richie over there runs the comedy. He does it every weekend on Friday and Saturdays. So the first two sets I did, I went up at the NoHo Diner. And then I went up at in Santa Monica, a place called the Britannia Pub. And that was actually a pretty good crowd. It was mostly all like open micers, but there's actually a little bit of a crowd there too. That's probably the best set that I've had so far. I got
how many minutes? About 5 minutes of a set, or what are you looking at?
Well, that set was only 4 minutes, but it was consistent laughter. And then I've gone up at a place called the Fourth Wall, which is in North Hollywood. That's like a small, tight room. And then there's a place called Deaf Noodles, which is a comedy club on Sunset. So I can officially say I've done comedy on the Sunset Strip. It's not the Comedy Store or the Laugh Factory or even the Improv, but it's a comedy club on Sunset. So I've gone up there.
You're making it, baby. You're living your dream. That's a lot of places, and you said you've done 14 sets or 14 nights. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, my goal coming out here was to dedicate to it. You know what I mean? And not half-ass it, because, like, it's the whole reason I came out here was to actually do comedy. So you got to actually get out there and do it. So that's what I've been trying to do. And I still got to get more consistent in going up, like, every single night. But I've done pretty good. And the nights that I couldn't go up, I've seen, like, comedy shows, too. So I've just watched a couple open mics, and I watched a show at the Comedy Store, which was cool because I hadn't been there yet. And Bert was kind of headlining that night. But it was, like, Margaret Cho, Bobby Lee, Felipe Esparza. I mean, the lineup was pretty badass if you like just, you know, comedy. And then Bert closed it out, but that was cool. First time at the Store, that was in the main room. And then I also snuck into Flappers in Burbank, which is it's a pretty famous club. Like, Jay Leno goes there a lot, but and you know, Jeff Garland from Curb, he goes up there quite a bit. But I didn't mean to sneak in. I thought they had an open mic one like Saturday night, and I went somehow or another. I went in like a side door. and it went into this little lobby area, and then it just led like right to the stage. And like, I didn't know where I was at, but I just kind of slipped my way in there and sat in the crowd. So I watched the show for free at Flappers. So I've been around the comedy scene a little bit. I mean, obviously I'm just getting started, but I've done a couple of sets when I go to the NoHo Diner. So this guy, there's a guy that goes there, and his name is John DiResta. And I don't know, you probably haven't heard of him. He's like C-list actor maybe. But this guy, have you ever seen Miss Congeniality?
Yeah.
Do you know Agent Klonsky?
Agent Klonsky from Miss Congeniality. How do you spell it, with a K? Klonsky?
I think it's C-L-O-N-S-K-Y or something.
Let's see here. John DiResta. Okay, let's see here. John, is he the main guy? Is he the love interest?
I don't think so. There's no way he had a role.
He's not the main love interest. Okay, no, I have no clue who this guy is.
Okay, well, like I said, he might be like a C-list actor, but anyway, he did go, like, if you YouTube him though, he went on Stern back in the day and went on like the Tonight Show, and so he got pretty big there for a minute.
He was also the title star of a short-lived UPN sitcom called DiResta or DiResta.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of the lowest rated sitcoms ever, apparently.
that checks out. So you made friends with this guy?
I wouldn't say friends, but if he saw me, he would probably recognize me from the... I mean, we talked very little, but he gave me his card. He does woodworking, too. So he does, like, carpentry work.
The first edition of the World's Greatest Podcast in America is brought to you by John DiResta's woodworking company. If you need any wood and you are in West LA near the NoHo Diner, please hit John DiResta up. He once had a UPN sitcom and starred in Miss Congeniality and Miss Congeniality 2, Armed and Dangerous.
And he was in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, I think. I think he was that movie. I don't know. Again, I don't know what role he played, but like, he got big there for a minute. Like he went on Bill Maher. He was doing all the like late night shows and stuff. But I think it was a pretty short lived fame when the sitcom didn't hit.
So far, this is your biggest celebrity encounter?
Yeah, I'd say so. There's this other place I went to, I guess, last Monday. It's called the Lyric Hyperion. It's over in Silver Lake, which not that that matters, but I didn't get signed up in time to go up. But now the girl that was hosting it is really hot. Her name is Liz Zagoni. And so I looked her up after the show, naturally, just to see if I could see her on social media. And she's on TikTok. She's got like 80,000 something TikTok followers. So I guess you could say she's kind of famous. But yeah, I haven't met any big time celebrities yet. Although I did drive, I forgot about this. I did drive by Kourtney Kardashian's house. I'm pretty sure it was Kourtney's house because there's like, I was doing one of these, I've been doing these grocery deliveries for, you know, money, because got to have money out here.
$1,500 a month worth at least.
Yeah. And so I went in this like gated neighborhood in Calabasas, and that's where the Kardashians live. And so there was this big like security compound at the front of this neighborhood, and I was just going to drop off like a Target order. And so I went in there, and once I got granted access, then I'm in the community, you know. So I went in there and I dropped my bags off at the house I was supposed to go to. And then I thought, what the hell? I'll just Google just out of curiosity, see where the Kardashians live. And this might come as a surprise, but they have multiple houses. But this one apparently is one of their houses. I drove by it. I guess it's Kourtney's. I don't know if it's her main house or what, but it's right in that gated community in Calabasas.
Yeah. So far, not loving the celebrity stories, although if I ever do need a woodworker, at least now I know where to go in Los Angeles. But
well, I've only been here a month.
Yeah, so say something funny to us. What's been your best joke so far?
Something funny?
Yeah, what's been your best joke?
Well,
what's been your worst joke, actually? What's been your worst joke? Have you bombed yet?
I've bombed. I have bombed like twice. I've gone up and just got complete silence and just, yeah, crickets, like no matter what I say. Because like if you lose them at first, I'm not experienced enough to get them back, you know? Like I'm an amateur, so like I don't really know what I'm doing.
How about this? Let me help you. Next time you bomb and you hear crickets, just make a joke about killing yourself.
Yeah, I'm going to kill myself if you people don't laugh.
Yeah. Just like, oh, sit here and talk to yourself. Be like, oh my God, I knew they weren't going to laugh. Yep, that's it. I'm going to kill
usually,
myself.
Well, usually I don't do it. Usually I don't completely bomb. Like I got some stuff I'll say where I get laughs. Like, I don't know. I do a thing about 9/11 where I'm like, I got a classic friend who was, I got a friend who was in 9/11, which is a museum in New York, if you're not familiar. And I don't know, I go into this whole thing about like he loves skyscrapers and he's asking me what the tallest ones are. I was like, oh, I can tell you the two that used to be the tallest. Like, obviously that's not how I deliver it, but I don't know. I got a few things that do okay.
They're gonna send you back home. They're gonna send you back home if that's the best material you got.
No, I got some other stuff too. I've been telling the joke about the how famous like assassinators all have three names. And I'm like, you know, for MLK, it was James Earl Ray. For Kennedy, it was Lee Harvey Oswald, Lincoln, John Wilkes Booth. And then for Jesus, several angry Jews. You know, so like I get laughs on some things, but I'm just getting started, just trying to be myself. And like I've been trying to tell this story about when I went through this big storm in Kansas and it's been bombing. So I got to figure that out. But
maybe just scrap that one.
Well, I think it's got some laugh points in it. Like I say, it's like, it was like Katrina for scarecrows. And then they're like, I got a couple tags in it that are decent, but I don't know. Yeah. Jay Leno had a quote and he said, like, until you do 500 sets, like you really don't know what the fuck you're doing. So I'm very, very young, very raw. John DeResta's done over 6,000 sets.
And he's also done 2,000 table sets and chairs and stuff to go with it.
I
maintain you really should have gotten those reps in Knoxville, but whatever. I'm telling you, next time you bomb, just say you're going to kill yourself if they don't laugh. Like, that's
all right. I'll try.
Try that.
I'll try. Should I take a prop, like pull out like a gun too? That probably
I wouldn't do that. I don't know if I'd pull out a prop.
There was a guy one night that had a prop. He did some joke at that Deaf Noodles at the club on Sunset, and he pulled out a bone saw and like plugged it in and started running it. Like he was kind of freaking people out, but it's interesting. You know, you see some weird people. There's a homeless guy that goes up at one of the places.
Yeah, that sounds like I told you about me at the Halloween party with all the sexy girls when I was a freshman in college, where I dressed up like the Joker and carried a butter knife around and I was scaring the hoes. I was scaring the hoes. So the bone saw guy kind of sounds like that. You don't want to be the guy scaring the hoes.
That's not even a big knife either.
Okay, in the future, I think we should do an episode where we bring in a virtual crowd. We bring in a virtual crowd. You do a 4-minute set for us.
Oh boy, I mean, I can try. Like, maybe we do that on the next one or one after that.
Not the very next one. We'll build up to it a little bit. I'll give you time, but we're trying to do this video. I don't know if this video is going to work because I guess Zoom's got us not side by side, but I don't know how to change that. I'm too much of a boomer. I don't really know how to do it. It's the first Zoom I think I've ever ran.
This is my first podcast, so.
Well, I'm a professional there. I can help you there, but I don't do videos usually.
Yeah. I've gone on a couple friends podcasts, but like I've never done one that's actually like I'm one of the main guys, you know. I'd say I'm top two on this.
Have you still been keeping up with sports?
Yeah, I have. Watched the games yesterday, of course. I told you about the Chiefs. I tried to tell you. All they do is win. They just know how to win. Now, the Eagles, not so much, but the Chiefs, they're back in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and they're probably going to win it, too. So I think I got to probably bend the knee there.
Is that where you're at right now?
Yeah, I think they're going to win it. I just Kansas City just has the better defense, which is crazy because you think San Francisco. But San Francisco's defense kind of sucks, and I just think Mahomes and Kelce will find a way to do it. I don't trust Brock Purdy. I made the mistake of picking Lamar and the Ravens yesterday, of thinking Josh Allen and the Bills could beat them. We missed two opportunities to get Patrick Mahomes with plus money getting points, and that's just not something you should – that's not a situation you should not take for granted, an opportunity you miss. So if it's close, if it's a coin flip, if the Chiefs are still a one-point dog, I think you take the Chiefs on Super Bowl Sunday.
Well, that was my initial thought, was that, like, there's no way that Patrick Mahomes is losing to Brock Purdy. But, again, there's other elements to the game, obviously, defense and stuff. So I started – I then immediately thought, well, you know, Tom Brady lost to Nick Foles. So, like, it's possible. But – I think Kansas City will win too. I was surprised by their defense too. I didn't realize their defense was going to be carrying them. It definitely did yesterday.
Plus, we get to see more Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I mean, I know some people are getting tired of her or whatever, but it doesn't bother me. I saw some tweet where, like, they were saying, "What if Kelce proposes to her after the game?" While the confetti's coming down, that'd be pretty wild.
How do you feel about her naked AI pictures that have hit the net?
I mean, I thought they were funny, you know, but
they didn't turn you on?
No, I mean, because it's AI. Like, if it was real,
still,
it would turn. Well, so, you know, I don't know. Did it turn you on?
There was one picture that kind of did, I'll be honest.
Was it the one where Andy Reid was behind her?
No, he reminds me too much of you. Whenever I see him, I think of you.
Yeah, for some reason, Andy Reid getting it on with Taylor Swift just doesn't do it for me, but I don't know. Maybe some people were into it. But, yeah, the Chiefs are back. I feel bad for the Lions. Like, that had to be just such a dagger in the heart yesterday for Lions fans. I really thought they were going to do it.
The funniest thing, or maybe the cruelest thing, not funny, is just I'm sure every Lions fan went into there thinking, hey, we got house money. Hey, it doesn't matter. We made it to the conference championship. We made the playoffs. We won two playoff games. And then the scripts played out the one way that absolutely rips your heart out, where you are kicking their ass and you're up 17. You're like, oh, my God, we're going to the Super Bowl. And then it just all goes to hell. And your coach gets blamed for being aggressive, and you just make, you know, a handful of mistakes. I still don't come out of that game thinking that San Francisco is necessarily better than them. It's just that Detroit choked, and, like, that's going to be the hardest thing to live with.
Yeah, it's got to be tough. I mean, being up three scores and then immediately San Francisco, when they got that fumble, you just kind of knew, like, they're going to do it. They're going to come back and tie it, and I mean, I felt like the momentum really shifted there, you know?
Yeah. Poor Eminem in the stands, so angry, flipping people off.
Yeah, he probably hit a woman or something.
I think that's the old him. I don't think he does that anymore. I think he's pretty soft and straight and narrow now. I don't think he does the beating women.
You don't think he's like burning down ladies' houses and stuff?
No, I don't think he does that anymore.
Who would you have been rooting for in the Super Bowl if it was Eminem versus Taylor Swift?
I would have been rooting for the Lions.
Yeah, me
although,
too.
Yeah, I mean, I would have been rooting for the Lions, and I'm not really rooting for anybody in this one. I don't really care who wins between Mahomes and Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan. I don't really care.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, it's a repeat of the. I don't like repeat Super Bowls within 5 years, if possible.
6 years is okay, but not five?
Yeah, 6 years is okay, but, like, when they were writing the script for this, I wish they had realize that the last time that the Chiefs and Niners played, a global pandemic followed.
Yeah, we had Trump versus Biden, 49ers versus Chiefs, and then the world versus disease, and hopefully that doesn't run itself back.
I feel like we're definitely getting Trump and Biden again.
Yeah, that's definitely coming. You were right about that. I don't think I've been as wrong in a prediction as when I told you I thought DeSantis would beat Trump. He got embarrassed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He didn't have what it took. I don't think he's likable enough. He doesn't have the charisma. He's just kind of like, I don't know. He kind of looks dead in the eyes, you know. I feel like that's not a good presidential look. He's got those glossy eyes that just make you think like he could definitely be into like some sort of concentration camp, you know.
He's not all there. There's something wrong with him. Just not quite fully there. I don't know, like the glossy eyes. I mean, he's just not fully there. There's a part of his soul or a part of his personality or something that is missing.
Yeah, I think he just might be like a demon or something.
Like, yeah, that's what I mean, a part of his soul. Like he's just a little bit of a demon. He's got the Hillary Clinton look.
I think he was sent from hell, yeah. But I've been doing a thing in my sets about Biden, too. About that, again, the delivery. I don't know how it really works on a podcast, but like,
I hear you, Sonny.
It's basically like, I ask people, have you ever seen you guys seen Game of Thrones? You know, they're like, oh, yeah, of course. And I'm like, I imagine every morning when Biden wakes up, it's like when Jon Snow came back to life and he just kind of gasps, you know, and it's like he's shocked to be alive still. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, I kind of feel bad for him because, you know, they just come in there and drag him off the bed. And they're like, come on, you old fucking, we've got to go again. And he just, like, he's ready to just die and they won't let him.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's hard to do delivery on the podcast, you know. I feel like I would bomb on the podcast.
Well, that's what I want. I want eventually us to work up, you doing a set. And maybe, you know, we help you write a joke because so far your jokes don't seem that good.
yeah well, you know, I'm trying to it's hard to like figure out how to translate it sometimes, because I know that like when we would do radio, like people like that, like we're funny on the radio, but trying to translate that onto stage in front of people is just kind of hard. Like I'm just trying to figure that out. I'm very very raw. I'm an amateur.
Well, you got the look, you know, of being just a fat slob. That helps in comedy.
Right. Yeah. That's half the battle.
And you got, you know, maybe the writing skills aren't refined enough, but like you got to be able to perform them. Right now you're just a country music writer that can't sing or play guitar. But you can learn. You can learn how to play guitar.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm working on it. The writing is another thing I got to work on. I feel like I need to do more writing. Like, I thought that the hard part for me would be, like, getting up on stage and, like, quote-unquote performing. But, like, I've kind of gotten used to that aspect, and now I feel like the writing is where I'm lacking. So, just got to keep getting reps in.
Are you going up sober?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been sober since I've been here. I mean, I haven't drank at all. Now, I have been on a bit of a weed regiment. Because it's legal here, you know. So, like, see these? Hang on.
Yeah. No, I see them. Yeah.
These little fruit gummies. See, that's 100 milligrams, but it's like a little wheel, and so you just pull off pieces of it, and they're 10 milligrams each. But I've been on a little bit of a weed regimen. It's been helping me sleep. Like, I don't take them during the day because, like, I'm useless during the day if I'm high. But I take one at night before bed. So I'll pop one of these 10 milligram hybrids, and then I'll take like two melatonin gummies, chew those up, and then pack in one of these Zens, and I get this nice little buzz. And then with like an hour of doing that, I'm ready to just pass out. It's been helping me sleep.
I'm sober except for all the weed, he says.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not smoking. I've smoked one joint since I got out here. Take a couple puffs on it at night here and there, but like during the day, I'm as sober as a Christian.
Well, so far, this podcast has just been all catching up with you, which is fine. A lot of our audience is interested in you. I don't know exactly where we're going in the future. I would like for it, you know, obviously we're going to run out of stuff to talk about with you to catch up with because now we're caught up. I'm hoping, you know, maybe every episode we get an update on your week of comedy.
Yep. Yep.
What's been happening? Your best joke, your worst joke, or maybe the best joke or worst joke you heard. Do you study up on people when you're there? Are you stealing their stuff? Kind of like Steve Harvey? Are you finding things to take and tweak and just go to a different club?
No.
Maybe that's what you should do. You should steal everybody's stuff in California for like a year and then come back to Tennessee and be the funniest person in Tennessee.
Maybe Cat Williams will talk about me if I do that.
Yeah.
But no, I did. There was this one guy that has like a funny joke that made me genuinely laugh. Like this Asian guy that went up in front of me, and I thought he was really good. I was laughing, and normally I'm not laughing at other open micers because most other open micers kind of suck, like me.
Are you guys all just not laughing at each other to make yourself look better if people do laugh for you? Is the community of open micers just a bunch of haters rooting for people to fail? Because I feel like, you know, the all tides rise boat, you know what the hell I'm saying. But like if the people before you are funny, that maybe makes the crowd laugh at you more.
No, it's like it's usually a pretty good vibe. It's usually a pretty good environment. Like they're all different. So like sometimes you go there and when I've bombed, it's because there's like, Not that I'm blaming the crowd. I mean, my material probably just sucked too, but like, it's usually there's four people there, you know, and it just kind of, the whole vibe sucks.
Yeah.
But some of these mics you go to, it's a good vibe. And like, people are there to laugh and they're enjoying it. Like you watch all the other open micers and some of them are better than others. It's like anything else, you know?
Now, were you about to tell me about the best joke you heard from the Asian guy? Is that what was about to happen there?
Oh, I mean, I can kind of, I kind of want to make it my own, but like not steal it, but like rewrite it using his outline.
Remix it. Remix it a little bit.
What was it Jay-Z said? You had a hot line. I made it a hot song.
Exactly. Yeah. That's all you got to do.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what I want to do. But so the premise of it is like he stayed at some place and like they named the rooms. And like every room had a name and a story behind it. It was like some kind of historic place. And he said like one of the rooms was called Weeping Wanda. And the story behind it was like there was this woman named Wanda and she died in the room and became a widow or whatever. And then he did another one. It's like an alliteration. It's like, you know, this room's called Sledgehammer Steve. And the reason it's called that is because Steve got beat to death with a sledgehammer. And like, so he's going like kind of down a dark road. And then his third point, he's like, well, I don't want to stay in either of those two rooms. Do you have a better room or anything else available? And they're like, yeah, the third room. This one's called Robert the Pedophile Rapist or something. And he's like, oh, I don't want to know about Robert, you know, but like, I thought about trying to make that into something, but I don't know. I obviously I'm not delivering it like he did, but it was funny in the moment.
Of course.
Of course. How's Marcus doing?
We got into a debate today after the radio show because he said he was starving. And I looked at him and said, I think you're quite a bit away from starving. And he didn't take a appreciation of that.
Yeah, he doesn't think.
And then we debated how long you could not eat without starving, and he thought it was like 6 days.
Oh, really?
He thought if he didn't eat within 6 days, he would die.
Yeah, I think you could make it like a month.
No, you could make it 70, up to 70.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, like, I mean, that book that I read, I mean, about the Troubles, those people went on a hunger strike. They went like 60, 65 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I don't think I could do that. I mean, like physically, no, maybe, but I don't think mentally I could do it.
Yeah, you don't really care about anything enough. They were, you know, protesting their freedom and their cause. That's why they were doing it. But yeah, I don't really care about anything.
Those people out there blocking the roadways.
Yeah.
I love those videos where those people get ran over.
Yeah, can we come back when it's not hot or cold? It's a little too hot to be standing out here today.
Yeah.
They get the picture.
So how are things going with you? How's the show with Bob?
I got nothing new to report, really. Doing the radio, 7 a.m. I'm a morning guy now. My life, every day, the first thing when I wake up, just say, oh, my God, why the hell did I agree to do this? Why did I decide to be a morning person? But then by the time I actually get in my car, I feel good. I've been holding strong with no caffeine in the mornings, no coffee, no sodas, no Zens. God. Yeah, no Zens, no weed, nothing like that. I'm just raw dog in the mornings. And so far, it's been pretty good. I still can't really fall asleep before midnight. So I'm kind of just operating on like 5.5 hours of sleep a night.
Yeah.
Which eventually will catch up to me. Like, if you look into my eyes, maybe they look a little dark here. I don't know. Like, I don't know if I look well or not, but I just haven't really been sleeping.
Well, you get up at like 6?
About 5:45 is about what time I wake up.
Jesus Christ.
So about 2:45 your time. Are you still awake at 2:45 driving, or are you in bed by then?
No. Usually I'm asleep by then. I've been getting in a little better routine of going to bed semi early, like by midnight, and then getting up like 7:30 or so. So I'm usually out by then. But I check and see what people are saying about your show sometimes. And I see the tweets and the posts, and it's like today at 4:45 AM. I'm like, holy shit. That's way too early. Like, if I wanted to listen to your show, I would literally have to start listening at 4 AM.
Have you been praying on my downfall? Have you been rooting against me?
No, absolutely not. I've been pulling for you.
Why did your voice get high just then?
I've listened to a couple of the episodes, like not full shows really, but I've listened here and there. And I mean, it sounds good. It's obviously a lot different than what we did, but it sounds good. I've liked the interviews.
Yeah, a lot of interviews. We've been doing a lot of interviews, but I'm going to use you to fulfill my wild side. I'm going to use you to fulfill my comedy side. You said you've been tracking down some headlines for us, some topics. Do you have a list of things that you've been keeping up with the news? I know you're kind of recording on your phone, so I don't know if that keeps you from it, but you said you've been compiling a list. I'm letting you produce the show. You know, Bob produces the morning show. He tells me what he wants to talk about. He outlines it. Seth and I, we just kind of have the same routine of Tennessee, then questions. I'm going to let you produce this. I'm just the talent. I'm just the host. So what is on your agenda for the rest of this episode?
So I've got all my tweets like bookmarked and stuff, but yeah, that's on my phone. So it's going to be kind of hard to see those while I'm on. Well, now for next show, what I'll do is I'll get on my computer in front of me, and then I'll have it pulled up.
Can you not get on your computer right now?
I mean, I can. I'm going to have to log into the Twitter. You want me to do that?
Well, I mean, what else you got to do?
Okay. Hang on. Let's see what I got. Hang on.
Crab boy. Oh, crab ass. You better be careful wearing that red out there in L.A., by the way.
What are you saying?
I said you better be careful wearing that red out there in L.A. You might make the Bloods mad.
What red?
Is that shirt not red? It looks red.
I mean, it's kind of red and white. It's got crabs on it.
It's got crabs on it. I know. That's what they call Crips.
Oh, really?
You're wearing blood colors, and they call the Crips, they call them crabs.
Well,
you better
I try
be
to
careful. Do you still ideally, wear your red bandana when you go out? Be careful if you put your red bandana on.
No, ideally, I try to stay away from gang territory, which is interesting. That's another thing about out here. Like, everything they say about out here is true. Like, all the good things and the bad things. It's like you're on different planets depending on where you go out here. So I try to just stay like on the west side, Beverly Hills, Santa Monica, the Valley. Like, that's I try to stay where it's nice.
I got an update for you, a Knoxville update.
What's that?
Speaking of homeless people. Well, yeah, that one woman died. She froze to death.
Who?
Excuse me, can I ask you a question? Excuse
the homeless, me? The lady in the old city?
Yeah, she died. She froze to death.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
when it was snowing last week.
Oh, yeah, it got bad there, didn't it? Like, yeah, it was single like, digits?
It was like 6 degrees out, and yeah, apparently she froze to death.
Oh, my God. How do you let yourself freeze to death?
Well, because you got nowhere else to go.
That woman, oh, my God, I can't believe that. She's not getting steps in anymore, huh? That woman more steps than anybody.
She's getting some steps in, but not on Earth either.
Holy shit. I can't believe she died.
Or down with the devil, one of the two. She's getting steps in down there now or up there.
Have you heard anything about the arrangements yet?
No, I don't have it. Yeah,
that's too bad. How'd you hear about it?
They wrote about it in the newspaper. Or they wrote about the newspaper or an activist like that helps the homeless put out a post about her, and they were mad that basically the city is basically not helping the homeless people as people were freezing to death, you know?
Oh, so
someone posted it in the Discord. I don't know.
So they did the write-up about her, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, I know her. She harassed me.
Yeah, everyone. Yeah. she would not take no for an answer. She looked like she wanted to spit on you. She would always say, can I ask you a question? I would just say no, and she would look so confused. No, you can ask me a question.
Yeah, what's the question? I feel bad now for ignoring her all those times. Anyway, I've got my bookmarks pulled up. Let's see what I got. Peaky Blinders actor Paul Anderson fined for possession of cocaine.
Yeah, you know, Arthur, he said that he was doing crack cocaine because he wanted to live the character, right? His lawyer said that he needed to be in character, and the actor, his fans needed him to be on crack cocaine. My question is, has the show not been off for a long time? Like, you don't have to keep being Arthur. Like, I feel like the show's been off for 5 years now.
Yeah, sometimes you just, you get too deep into the character, you know, and you can't quit playing the game.
It's just like Hulk Hogan, man. Just like Hulk Hogan.
You remember when you texted me the other day that country star got arrested, Chris Young? You remember that time we were out at the bar and I tried to ask him for cocaine?
Yeah, you tried to buy cocaine from Chris Young in Nashville. That was the night that you came and wrecked that poor girl's apartment and called her and told her she was being cunty and kept drinking all of her White Claws and threw up in her bathroom that she had just cleaned and then went to her office and knocked everything off. Earlier that night, you tried to buy cocaine from Chris Young. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, 6 hours before that, I tried to score off Chris Young.
You do have to wonder. You do have to wonder, had you gotten that cocaine from Chris Young, if it would have zapped you back to life and you wouldn't have ruined that poor girl's apartment.
I don't know. I just figured he'd know somebody. You know, he says he's got famous friends. So let's see what we got here. Luka Doncic scores 73 points in a game. You ready? You want a tweet of the day? Fuck me.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Why?
Go ahead. What's the tweet of the day?
He's holding up a piece of paper and it says 73 on it. And the guy says, me showing my parents an 11th grade chemistry test.
Tweet of the day. Let's see what the internet has got to say. After that game, after he dropped 73, after years of me comparing Trae Young and Luka Doncic, I just fired off one more tweet that said, good game by Trae as he had 30 points and 11 assists in a close loss.
Yeah. It's still a good game.
It is.
What do we got next? Woman arrested after Amish family's horse and buggy stolen from Walmart parking lot.
Wait, say that one more time.
A woman was arrested after an Amish family's horse and buggy was stolen from a Walmart parking lot.
Okay.
Like I said, I've just been bookmarking things like.
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't really have anything funny to say about that. I guess you can't really lock up a horse.
Here's
tie the rope, but yeah.
Here's one from one of these alt-right accounts that shows a lot like seven black dudes beating up a white kid on a ski slope somewhere.
Cody McClure CFB tweets.
Yeah. Saturday Night Live sinks to a new low. I mean, I got all kinds of stuff. I could just read you headlines all day, you know?
No, it's fun.
Yeah. So you're enjoying the show, though. The show's good?
Yeah, the first episode, The World's Greatest Podcast in America. It's been a good episode. It's been nice to keep up with you. Couple of a little bit of feedback we've got from the people watching live. Is he living in a cubicle? Asked Shit for Brains.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not much more than that. It's basically a bedroom and a bathroom, basically.
Is he in jail? Asked Zach.
Now, what jail have you seen with a yellow wall?
I'm sure they have a couple of jails that are like in the for-profit prisons. I'm sure they got a couple that look about like that.
No, I'm not in a jail. Look, I'm committed to this room I'm in through March 31st. So after that, I'm going to try to find something different. I'm going to try to all my belongings do fit in the car, though. You know, you got that right about I can live out of the car if necessary. So I'm probably going to try to find a different place when this term is up, something with a little more space.
This motherfucker ain't got no stove, writes in Davey.
That's true. No stove here.
Smitty wants to see the fridge. Can we see the fridge?
I mean,
inside the fridge. Inside the fridge.
Oh, really? You want to see inside my fridge?
Inside the fridge.
Yeah, you're going to be wildly disappointed. All right. So here's the fridge. Here's the freezer. I got some healthy. I got broccoli and I got mixed vegetables. And these are some kind of chicken nuggets. What is that? Yeast nuggets? Breast nuggets. Now, this is going to be sad. Okay. Prepare yourself. There's not much in here. We got some light mayonnaise, and then we got a leftover thing, and we got some chicken, and that's all that's in there. I'm out of all drinks.
Keaton says you missed a Stairway to Heaven joke about that poor lady. Have some shame, Keaton. That was somebody dying. That was somebody's life. You don't make jokes when somebody freezes to death.
Yeah, that is really sad.
No Stairway to Heaven steps jokes as she's dead. She froze.
That is very sad. At the same time, though, I don't know how you let yourself freeze to death. Like, you got to do something.
You don't have an option. You don't have any money or anywhere to go. Like, what do you mean? Like, nothing downtown is open 24 hours. If you don't make it into the shelter, you're done for. That's the problem with being homeless. You have nowhere to go. That's the point of being homeless. You have no home. You are without a home. You are displaced.
I'm just saying, you got to figure it out before you freeze to death. You got to do something. You got to start, like, I don't know what you do, but you got to do something. You could go in a grocery store or something, couldn't you? Well, they're not open.
What grocery store do you open? You know, that's open 24 hours.
Yeah, it's true. They're not open all night anymore. I mean, you sneak into a hotel and you do something. You don't freeze to death.
You know how you look at homeless people when they wander into stores, when you know that they're not somewhere. When they're somewhere they're not supposed to be. You know the looks and that you run them off. You used to do it to those poor people at Hops and Hollers all the time. Get on out of here now.
I got after one of them with a broom one time. Todd told me to. I was trying to be nice to the guy, but he just kept coming in, just fucking around, and I had to get the broom after him. I did. I said, "You got to get out of here, man." He's like, "What? What do you mean? I ain't causing no trouble." And I got the broom. I said, "Get on out the door." And he got on out. I mean, they were trying to play trivia in there. You know, it was trivia night, and you can't be having that kind of stuff. It'd be one thing if it had been like a Monday or a Tuesday, but, you know, it was trivia night. It was Thursday. Are you and Bob playing trivia?
No, we're not. We haven't run any of our segments back except last Wednesday. I made us play Overrated, Underrated following one of the worst interviews I've ever heard on radio. The good news is, Cody, if you cannot sleep, I'll send you a link to this guest we had on that was the most boring person I've ever heard on radio. And he went for 20 minutes and would not shut up. He was 4 minutes at a time answering questions.
It was that dude that sounded like Nick Saban, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I listened to part of that, like 10 minutes of it.
Do any of your friends still listen and report back, or have they all quit since you're gone?
They haven't said anything. Jordan,
Seth texts me. Seth still listens. I know that, but I don't know if you've heard any other feedback. Yeah.
They haven't said anything to me. I would assume that Jordan probably tunes in here and there, but
yeah.
But I don't know if he does or not, because he liked us, part of it, because his schedule, you know. I mean, I don't know if he's listening at 6 in the morning.
Yeah, no, it's early for sure. Does your mom know that you're in California yet?
Yeah, she knows. She knows. When I went home at Christmas, she got it out of me. And I didn't want to, like, I didn't want to lie to her, but I didn't want her to be worried about me. But she's going to worry anyway. But we talked about it, and once I showed her the place I'm staying in, she felt a lot better about it. She's, weirdly enough, I know everybody's making fun of my cubicle here, but like
your dorm room.
When I told her that, like, I've got my own private area, my bathroom, and like, and the outdoor part here is gated, so it's in like a pretty safe area. Like, it's not, I'm not in Compton, or, you know, so like, she felt better about it. And then I had a long talk with my dad about it, and he's been somewhat supportive about it too. So like, it is what it is, you know. I mean, what are they going to do? Tell me not to go, you know?
Does your mom thank me for helping, you know, break the news to her for about a month straight?
Well, she just, that one day when you were berating me about how I should stay in Knoxville, she texted.
I wasn't berating you.
She texted me and said something like, John making a lot of sense right now, or something like that. So yeah, I mean, you know, when I first got out here, it was kind of rough the first few days. And I kind of had a couple moments where I was like, ah, shit, I've made a big mistake. You know, maybe I should just turn around and go back. Because
I heard about the couple of crying phone calls that you made to Bear and others, kind of regretting your decision and crying. Like, you never let me see that side of you, but I could tell that you were lonely, or, you know, having some second doubts. But I never really got to hear the crying phone calls.
First of all, there were no crying phone calls. There were a couple of.
Want to go back home. I don't want to be out here anymore.
There were no crying phone calls, but I think the first few days, I think what There's I not underestimated enough
white people around here.
That
where
is
are all the white one, people.
Dude, that is one thing that, like, depending on where you're at, there's so many Mexicans out here. And I don't say that any I don't say that any kind of way. I mean, I say it in a, you know, with love or whatever. But there are, like, some of the places you go into and there's not any white people, which is fine. That's fine with me. I'm fine with being the only honky in that particular Target. But, you know, there's a lot of, and where I'm living, there's a lot of, like, Vietnamese people around too. Good food, though. Very good food. I'll do some restaurant reports for you eventually. But yeah, the first few days, I think what I underestimated was, like, because you guys had that big party for me. When I left, you know, we went out drinking, everybody's just supportive and we're laughing and having a good time. And then I go home at Christmas and I'm surrounded by family and friends there and everybody's laughing. We're having a good time. And then I hit the road and I'm like, well, I'm alone now, you know? So like the first few days I kind of felt lonely, but that I got through that.
Make sure to add that into your bomb defense. Whenever no one laughs, you'd be like, came all the way out here from Tennessee by myself. This is it. I'm going to kill myself.
I don't have any friends.
I got no friends. I got no family. I'm fat. These people aren't laughing. This is it. I'm going to end it.
I got no friends. Well, I try to realize that, like, when I first moved to Knoxville too, you know, I didn't know anybody. I didn't have any friends. So like, if I keep going to the same places doing comedy and stuff, I'll make friends.
At least with some of the shop owners you get your Zens from, they'll know you by name.
They got a good deal at the corner store up here, the Armenians. They sell them, it's three cans for it's $3.99 a can if you buy three cans. So I go in there and get three cans at a time. It's a pretty good deal.
How are the women?
Oh, they're beautiful. They're beautiful.
Any Armenian women running around that store?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that store in particular. No, there's no women in that store, but there are other Armenian women out here, though. There's beautiful women everywhere, though. You know how that is.
Last question from a listener. Garrick wants to know why you ended up choosing L.A. instead of Austin.
Well, first of all, because it's wintertime, and so I wanted to be somewhere warm. So it was really either L.A. or Miami, and I always lean toward California. I've just always wanted to come out here and try it, you know. But, like, I'm not ruling Austin out. Like, if a few months go by out here and I feel like doing something different, I might go to Austin, you know. But for now, I like it out here. And this time of the year, especially the weather, like today it's 78 and sunny. It's literally been perfect for like 4 days. But now later in the week, it's going to get kind of shitty. Actually, the highs are only like in the 50s. It's going to be cloudy. So, like, it's not perfect all the time. Like, it is still January.
50 degrees. Oh, God.
It's nice today, though. I'm ready to get back outside here pretty soon.
Yeah, I'll let you get outside. A good hour here. We're going to plan to do this. We still plan two times a week.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Absolutely.
So on Thursday, we'll have it better mapped out and better planned out. We'll kind of take some feedback from the audience and the stuff they want to hear and whatnot, but not bad for kind of a test run. I'll get this uploaded. Make sure to go subscribe to the World's Greatest Podcast in America. I know it's on iTunes. It should be on Spotify. Keep an eye on it. I don't know if this video is going up or not, but we'll figure out how to video it as well and put it on YouTube and such. And shoot me any questions you want to talk to Cody about. And like I said, we'll have it kind of better mapped out and planned as we kick off at the beginning of February. Good to see you, big guy.
It's good catching up with you, my brother. Good to see your face.
Remember, make suicide jokes when people don't laugh.
All right. I'll keep that idea 6 feet under. Bomb.
I don't know about that one. They're going to send you home. They're going to send you home if that's the best you got. All right, I'll talk to you next week. Or later this week. I'll talk to you Thursday.
All right, bye.
See ya.